Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everybody, Shanti here from Muses. We are the podcast that brings you the stories of the incredible women in rock and roll history, those women who were the wives, the groupies, the support system, the photographers. We take them from the side of the stage and backstage to front and center. Thank you so much for being with us today. This is a special bonus episode. When I was in Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Doll Con, I recorded an episode with MJ and Bree from the Keeping It Casual podcast. I really recommend that you go and check them out. They're everywhere where you find your podcasts. That's Keeping It Casual. And that's what we did. We had a really nice and relaxed casual conversation about music, about traveling, about boys, about the dolls, about being a part of Miss Pamela's doll group and how fantastic that is. It's really what you would find more in Lynx and I's Patreon episodes, something that's a little bit more about us and our experiences as groupies, as muses, and that kind of thing. So I hope you enjoy this bonus episode. I want to take this moment to thank our newest patrons. So thank you so much to Pauline and Rachel. We appreciate you so much. We love doing these bonus episodes, and we love that you're listening to them. For those who are possibly interested or thinking, what am I going to get? For $5 a month, you're going to get Lynx and I releasing an episode on the alternate weeks of what comes out on the Pantheon Network. This week is actually really special because the bonus is going to be a video. You'll have access to both audio and visual content. So Lynx and I are going to talk about some really memorable times. And then we have little things to show you that go along with those. So you'll be able to see us, you'll be able to listen to us. And it's something a little bit different for those of you who really are digging what we're doing. So I want to thank you so much for that. And I hope that you enjoy this episode. Better late than never. You know, we've been busy over here at Muses headquarters, and we love you so much. Happy summer. Goodbye.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
You don't. I speak French.
Un, deux,
trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix. Let's
see. So Canadian of you.
The, like, vintage style.
That was my grandmother's.
Yeah, I love that. I love the grandma. That's what I want.
Aw,
yeah.
Thank you for noticing. Mm-hmm.
That's
hint to
my TJ. My no, I have my great aunt's, and I've taken it out of my box and shown it to him and been like, I'm a size 4. Whenever you're ready.
I lost mine, and I pulled this out just about a month ago. I was like, you know, I'm going to throw it on. It's a little...
Yeah. Well, I have my grandmother's and my great aunt's. Oh. And they're the same style because they got married in the same year or something like that, or around there. So it's the same style, but one of the diamonds is smaller, one of them is bigger. And then
the bigger diamond.
Like, and then that one is the step up from the other
too.
Yeah, this was like a little white. I think it's got a nice little cushion that's distracting, but thank you for those all.
I saw that you were wearing a ring, and then I was like, I wonder if that's the one that she was telling me about. But I was like, but then it's not rose gold. Then I was like, I'm not even going to ask.
Yeah.
Do you think that's letting my boyfriend be really lazy if I just pull out my own, ring
because it
and
means
say, hey, I love this
so much to
just
you.
Just get it sized and you're ready.
Yeah, it means a lot to you. Not only that, but like at the same time, I mean, not that I'm an expert on love by any means. I mean, I would love to wear my grandma's still alive, but if I am given her wedding set, that's what I would want.
I think it's a lot of money. It's a lot of pressure on guys. It's like, oh, it's got to be 3 months of your salary. Like my man went it a little above and beyond, because when I lost it, I found out how much it was worth. I was like, what? You spent, we could have been on vacation. We could have done a lot of things that I was
like,
I'd rather not.
You could
not
put more money into the honeymoon or something.
But that's how we feel about the wedding.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll be married and then we can have a little party. But that's
exactly
awesome.
Yeah.
That's, I think, more our style anyways.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of beautiful weddings and that's great, but I don't really feel like I need the dress and
I don't want $10,000 on plates and silverwares
exactly.
and stuff. It's like, no.
Yeah.
We did a backyard party and barbecue and got married at the Elvis Chapel.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh.
And then like
I mean,
party
I would
at my
be
friend's
happy
house.
To get
our friend,
married at
our
an
friend
Elvis Chapel.
Joey, she and her husband, when they got married, they said, we're throwing an engagement party. Everybody come. And then they were like, surprise, we're getting married.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I loved that because I was like, well, what about gifts and stuff? She was like, we didn't need any of that. We didn't want you guys to waste your money. We just want to have a fun party with our friends and share our love. It seemed to me like that's a better idea for a wedding. I don't know. It doesn't have to, if I get married, I don't want it to be showy and whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I have enough attention, I feel. And I'm happy with that. And there's lots of times where I celebrate my friends and they can celebrate me.
Yeah.
And I just don't really need it. But can a Canadian get married in Vegas?
Can anybody? Yeah,
absolutely.
You don't have to be American to get married.
No, you can have Elvis do it. You can have anybody.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Canadian and the... I guess
a lot, but everybody comes out here to get married.
Yeah.
From all over the world.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think so.
I'll have to ask Elvis. So we've never done like a collaborative one. So we want to honor and respect the way you want to do your show and start your show. And so whatever, what do you...
Oh, well, I mean, I'm on your turf. I'm in your city.
All right.
And
let's,
you brought the gear. Right.
Keeping it casual style.
All right.
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
That doesn't mean you're listening in the afternoon. Hey, guess what? We have an amazing person sitting in the room with us right now.
Today is a big collaboration.
Okay.
We have another podcaster from Canada. We have listeners in Canada. We love Canada.
We do. So welcome Miss Shanti from Muses, the podcast. Yay!
Yes.
Thank you so much.
But also this is for your listeners you can
behind that I'm gonna say I'm sitting here with Bree and MJ and they're from the Keeping It Casual podcast.
Yes! Guys! We're live in Vegas. We're at the Plaza Hotel. It's as fancy as it
we
sounds.
We are
too.
Here for Miss Pamela DeBar's Doll Con.
Yeah, I am feeling fancy though. I mean,
yes, you just came from the Bellagio.
I just came from the Bellagio.
Yes. It's a fancy feeling to even go on the strip. We're downtown now where everybody can wear what they want and walk around with big giant drinks.
Yardstick drinks.
Yes.
I saw so many butts before noon today. It was great.
Oh, out on the strip?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw like two really beautiful butts and just these two ladies and they have
the feathers, what are they wearing?
The feathers.
Oh,
and
showgirls.
Then I saw, showgirls. Mm-hmm. And then I saw an old man in a string thing.
Was
her face
like
just
the
dropped.
Borat type of...
Yeah, he must have been 80.
Okay, well, I mean...
Viva Las Vegas.
There's a dog for every Beth out there.
I was in Vegas for 5 minutes yesterday and I saw somebody get arrested.
Awesome.
Oh, I mean, that's just...
You're downtown.
I don't even notice when I see Metro anymore. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, it's... The downtown scene is a little... it's a little creepy in parts. It's like any downtown area, I guess. I've never been to Canada,
but any downtown area in the States. Yes.
No, it's, like it's like I can't think of anywhere in any of our cities where that
we've only imagined like how fabulous it is in Canada. Like yeah. Everybody just seems to get along. It's a very stereotypical, but every time I've met people from Canada, they're just so
like
cool.
Jeff and Shayna,
laid back. Jeff and Shayna. Yeah. Fania, our pole fitness host for our live show. Yeah. I mean, yeah, anybody cool that's like, yeah, I'm from Canada.
And they
like,
just love so cool. You guys seem to just love everybody. Yeah. Like you got so much love to give, and I'm like back here like a cat, like I'll like you maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see if you earn it. So okay, let's kick this off. How did you and Lynx meet?
Lynx and I met at, and this is going back to Miss P when you said, okay, let's talk about who Miss P is. Mm-hmm. We met at a writing workshop, one of Pamela DeBar's writing workshops.
That's where Brie met you guys, right?
Well, we're part of we met online. But it's because it's a community.
Yeah. Oh. It's the doll community. We actually just met when I picked her up in person.
We feel like we know each other because one, we listen to each other's podcasts. Yes. Uh-huh. You know, you see each other's faces online and things like that. I met Lynx at a writing workshop, and Lynx was the person who brought Pamela to Toronto. So
really?
Pamela does writing workshops all over the United States and in some places in England. And Lynx messaged Pamela and said, would you ever consider coming to Toronto? And Pamela said, if you get enough girls, then I'll come. So at the first writing workshop in Toronto, there were 20 girls. I wasn't at that one. I wasn't at the second one. I wasn't even at the third one because I wasn't even living in Toronto at that time. Uh-huh. I was just discovering Miss P's books in early university, thinking I was the only one who was a huge fan of her and what she did and what she's doing now. And I didn't even know that she was still active and doing workshops and still going to shows and writing articles. And so when I was in university, I found that she was doing an online workshop. It was her first and only Skype writing convention.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Toronto. I attended a first in-person doll class. And then ever since there, I hold the writing workshops at my house.
That's
so
amazing.
It kind of started from just being a fan to one day hoping to be a part of the group. And now the writing workshops happen at my house in Toronto. And Lynx was the first person to bring the writing workshops to Toronto. And then her and I met at one of the writing workshops. And it was just, you know.
It's amazing how you just, when you go into those writing workshops, you bare your soul to these women and they just immediately become your soul sisters. It's just such a positive group. You laugh together, you cry together, you write some of the most intimate things that you don't even talk about to other people. And then it comes out and these people that like, especially your first class, I'll never forget my first class. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote about that. I don't even tell people about that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all these women now know this about me and... Oh, goodness. But it's like, no, it's a judgment-free zone. It's just, it's so beautiful.
Well, I've never even heard of Pamela until Brie started telling me about her. And then I heard her on your podcast, which is very cool. So for anybody else that is not aware of her, you guys, fill in who is Pamela. This is a muse. It's basically the muse for some podcasts for you guys, right?
I asked her permission before I started the podcast. I asked if I had her blessing because I did use her book. So she's an author.
Uh-huh. Yes.
She has 5 or 6 books now. And one of the books is Let's Spend the Night Together. And she has a whole bunch of different women tell their stories of spending time with, inspiring, you know, having relationships with the famous musicians that we know and
rock
love.
Stars.
But her most famous book is I'm with the band Confessions of a Groupie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She is the world's most famous groupie.
It's true.
And groupie is not a bad thing, guys.
Yeah. And so you're in town, you're in Vegas right now for the writing workshop, right?
The International Doll Convention. So I've never been to a con, you know, when you think about cons, you're like Star Trek and I don't know.
But this is for all of her writers to get together. And just, it's so insane because like she'd been talking about it forever and we were thinking it was going to be in Austin. And then all of a sudden just got posted one day and it was like Pamela's first ever Doll Con in Vegas. And I was like, man, I don't even have to travel for this. Yay!
Oh, that's so cool.
And yeah, so she's getting all her dolls from around. That's what she calls her writers, her dolls. She's getting all her dolls from around the world and we're going to get together and write.
There's so many great things we're going to be doing besides writing. Yeah. We're going to be going vintage shopping. And if we want to today, we can go see her spiritual guide named Light.
Yes. Well, what a better name for a spiritual guide.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am Light. It's like, well, perfect.
Yes. And Pamela writes about Light in her second book. take another little piece of my heart, which that
A Groupie
book,
Grows Up.
A Groupie Grows Up. That book I have read after every breakup, even my most recent breakup. Like, I read it just to be like, I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean? And then you look at it. What is so fabulous about Pamela, too, is she's still such good friends with her ex-husband.
With Michael. He's awesome.
I loved that episode that you did about Pamela and Michael. Like, that episode had me in tears. I was like,
Is it a Michael we know?
Michael DeBar. He sang for Power Station. Mm-hmm. He's been in so many bands.
It's like Silver.
Ooh. Yeah. He was on
or something like that. Sorry if I got that.
Was it Nip Tuck?
He's been on a bunch of television shows. Okay. And yes. Now he has a channel on Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Yes.
And yeah, so he has his own Sirius XM radio show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's great. Cool. He's really positive and he's got such a fantastic voice. He's from England and he never lost that accent. And
no, he hasn't.
Yeah, he's smart. He loves music. He's great. And they've remained friends and they've been that really nice example of maintaining a really positive relationship with somebody after you are no longer with them romantically.
Oh, yes. That's a whole episode. That's a whole episode we will dive into one time.
I have exes that I'm still very good friends with, but then I have some that don't deserve my friendship after the relationship ended.
Yeah.
Can I ask how your podcast came to be?
Of course. Honestly, MJ and I were going to be, we were trying to do different projects.
Yeah.
Honestly, yes. We were trying to do different projects and they weren't panning out very well. Mm. And then she walked into work one day and she goes, "Can I steal you?" Yeah. And I was like, "Steal me for what?"
my idea was like kind of a one-on-one thing. So I would, but the problem was I wanted to do a podcast where I'd interview people. So it was me, but it was also based on like having to have somebody else commit to doing a podcast with me weekly, different people. And I realized there's never the right timing. There's never the right, I mean, just having people that don't do podcasting, like if you want to be a one-on-one podcaster and have guests, it's very hard to like have
constant.
You have
to tell them how to hold the mic.
Yeah.
No, closer to your mouth.
Or just like, hey, can you meet me this time? Or it was just not going to work out. So Bree was very passionate about starting one. I was excited for her. And mm-hmm. I said, hey, do you want to come on mine? And I want you to be my online dating expert. We're going to talk about online dating. So we did a whole episode. Maybe we release it one day.
Like, oh my God, we should totally release.
Like a Patreon or something. That would be funny. So we did this episode. And afterwards I said, God, that was great. This was so fun. You're so fun and easy to talk to. And I said, we should fucking do a podcast. Like, why don't we do one together?
You're not my guest. You're my co-host.
Yeah. It was just like, this is too easy.
Yeah. Like, it worked out so well. And I just kind of like how you were talking about how you and Lynx, like you do a lot of the technical side, but she does a lot of the web stuff. That's just very how we are. We're mm-hmm. very yin and yang with the way we can work. Like, mm-hmm. she makes the coffee.
Yeah. I say like somebody, if you don't mind doing this that much, then you'll do it. You know? Like, so it's a nice balance. So
that's interesting. Lynx was a guest as well because I had started it alone.
Okay.
And it was just friends that would come on, musicians or anything, and I would tell them the story about a groupie or a muse.
Yeah.
And then I really liked this because I wanted to do Marianne Faithfull. And I didn't know anything about Marianne Faithfull really, except that she just had a relationship with Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. And then she was beautiful. And so I got her book out of the library and I didn't read it and I needed to renew it. And then I didn't read it and I needed to renew it three times until I couldn't renew it anymore and I hadn't read it. So I sent a message to the Toronto Dolls and I said, hey, does anybody know much about Marianne Faithfull? And then they can tell me the story. And nobody had come on and told me a story yet.
Ooh.
And everybody said, Lynx, she's your girl. And the writing workshop in Toronto was next week.
Perfect.
And then so she came, so we met and then we scheduled the chat and she was so good and everybody loved her that she would come on every second episode. And then I was like, you are the co-host I always wanted. I didn't ever want it to be a solo podcast.
Yeah.
I always wanted a co-host. And so she was just the natural co-host. So we've really grown a lot. But was your main idea the relationships and dating and...
Sort of.
Mine was I wanted to kind of...
Sharing secrets.
Yeah. I wanted to open up communication with people. I wanted to get their perspective on everything because you don't have to be a relationship expert to have an opinion on what the drama your girl's going through, you know? So I thought it'd be fun to have people come on and talk about different thing. And, you know, I think everybody's a superstar in their own light. So mm-hmm. just like having a friend of mine, she's got seven kids and she's gorgeous and fabulous, has a fun marriage. She's cool. And I'm like... I want to know like what, how she keeps it together, or this person, you know? So I think no matter what you're doing, you have a story. And that's, that was my idea. So, and we're kind of getting into that with our guests more too. So
yeah, because we're not.
But Bree's was a little different too.
Mine was a little different. I don't really want to divulge into that just because that might still happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, I had a co-host and it was just timing. We couldn't get together, and it just wasn't working out. And I was just like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then when we got together, it was just magic, because it was like, she was like, hey, find a good server for us to put our podcasts on. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you can find us a photographer. And then it was just kind of like, I don't know. It's so hard to find that one person that you could really put your trust into to start a business with.
Exactly. It is like, it's starting a business with somebody.
It is.
I'm in a manifestation Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And a girl posted, I have a friend and she wanted to start a podcast. We've pre-recorded 4 episodes and now I realize my heart's not in it. Mm. Should I keep doing it? I can't commit to her. And I was like, this could be the best thing that's ever happened to her. Mm-hmm. If you just let her do it and you let her find somebody who is 100% dedicated to it.
Yeah.
If you're not, don't do it. Yeah. You cannot go into a podcast half season to it and hope that it grows on you, because it's so much work.
Yeah.
And especially if you're independent, you're not already Joe Rogan going into like a huge network and you can talk about anything and nothing and people will still listen. Mm-hmm. If you're independent, you really need to build yourself. You need to build your brand. You need to grow your audience organically. And if you are not fully committed to that, then you can be like, you'll stop after 12 episodes.
Exactly.
You'll get to about 12 and then that's it.
Yeah. I don't even think people realize like how much money you have to put up at front first for these type of things too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I like what you say. That is good advice to people who are thinking of starting one, like record a couple, have a few in the bank. That way when you're ready to launch, you feel confident like, okay, I can keep this consistent. Cause that's what it is. You want to be consistent. We came out, we're like, all right, our goal was, some people want to do it monthly, biweekly, every 3 months, whatever your goal is, you know, just make sure that you can keep up with that to keep it consistent. People will expect that from you. So we came out of the gate like 5 of them deep.
Yeah, we were like, we want weekly episodes, we want to look this, we want everything to be.
So we did a lot because we were like, okay, we want to be ready and we want to make sure that we...
I honestly
that's good.
Think the radio background comes into that.
Oh, and you know what? Yeah. I don't have a radio background.
Yeah.
I don't have a media background. And for me, done was better than perfect.
Yeah.
Right? If you go back, and we might even be taking those down soon, like the first 10 episodes.
Oh, really?
Where I talk... Well, see, that's the thing is
they could be gold though.
Yeah.
But the thing is I talk about Patty Boyd without links. Mm-hmm. I talk about Teresa Tana without links. Mm-hmm. And I would love to revisit those. And those episodes, they don't even have an intro. Mm-hmm. They don't have a theme song. They don't have production value. But I'm still proud of them. And I'm still happy that they're there. And for me, if I would have waited for the theme song and this and that, I might have never done it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's 3 years ago. And podcasting 3 years ago is not what it is today.
No. Oh, no.
I didn't really have that many people to talk to. It was a Google. It was a WikiHow. It was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we've built it from there. So it's wild to think of that episode 1 to episode 110. How much has changed, and it's still changing, and it's still growing.
It's inspiring.
So.
It is. I mean, you guys are almost 3 years into it. You've recorded at Sun Studios. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
I found you guys. Honestly, I think Lynx was already your co-host by the time I found you, but I found you still fairly early on because I've been listening to you for a few years
thank
now.
You. Yeah, same with you. When it came out, I was episode 1.
Oh, thank you. And so you've heard my entire relationship.
Well, that's okay. You know, it's been a fun journey.
Yeah,
but
it has been. And you know what's funny is the way our podcast started is, she had a party and that was our first episode, and our first episode was like right after one of my very first dates with my ex-boyfriend, and it just kind of like, you just see this whole arch of like our entire lives coming through, and now, you know, we're not even a year into it, and it's just, it's kind of insane. It's fun to watch it grow, and it's also fun to like go back and listen to the episodes, like here's where I was less than a year ago. You know what I mean?
It's like your online diary. But with Lynx and I, we might say a little something about each other or what's mm-hmm. going on with us at the beginning, but we usually just dive right into the person that we're talking yeah. about in the stories. So it's not so much about us in that mm-hmm. sense, yeah. which is cool. Although we infuse here and there, oh, that reminded me of a time that this, but we are launching a Patreon mid-May. I don't know when this is coming out, but it's going to be
mid-May.
And that's going to be the opportunity for us to really chat about past relationships. Like, aww. I don't talk about a lot of musicians that I've dated.
Well, let's start talking about
it. Lynx has some amazing stories that you wouldn't even believe. Like, we'll hit stop on recording mm-hmm. and she'll be like, by the way, I met the person that we just talked about in the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, you did. But she doesn't open up really and like talk about and that's not my story to share.
Yeah.
So I've never shared any one of Lynx's stories. It's not mine, it's hers. Mm-hmm. And yeah. when she's ready, I think she's going to blow people away with like the experiences that she had and the things that she's done. But the cool thing is too, I find about her is that she never used that as leverage, which she could have. We have a podcast about groupies yeah. and muses who have really fascinating relationships with musicians, and she never used that as leverage, even though we've had people sort of try to get that out of us and ask us. Mm-hmm. But with the Patreon, we're going to be opening up a little bit more about our personal lives, asking each other questions that maybe we don't even know about each other, even though we've known each other for over 3 years.
Yeah.
And that'll be an opportunity for listeners who really like us and who are invested in us at this point in our personalities to get to know us on that more intimate level.
I love it.
I love it. We need to take Keeping It Casual to Canada.
We do.
So we can have a nice little live and interactive relationship with the muses.
Yeah. Yes.
Your show requires research and a lot of passion yeah. and stuff, and it's very niche. You were just talking to somebody and they're like, so it's called Muses? And you know, you told them, yeah, it's like,
it's about the girls behind the songs.
Yeah. And they were like, wow, that's a really interesting concept. That sounds like a very creative podcast.
Taking the women who are backstage to the front of the stage to bringing the shining the light on them to give them the credit that they deserve for inspiring the life, the fashion, the everything. Style choices, the musical influences of the rock star.
Yes.
So
I love it. I think it's just a really cool idea, and I haven't heard anything like that before. So I was all about it. So it's so exciting to connect with you and just, you know,
thank you.
Especially after learning more about Pamela through both of you now.
Do you have, besides Pamela, we can't use her, that's too easy, do you have a favorite muse?
Oh, good question. I got really, really interested in all of Elvis's women. Mm. And then from there, I got really interested in Elvis. So for me, I was never a huge Elvis fan growing up. We have our family. We were really like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers mm-hmm. family. And I can even go off on that. But when we started learning about Priscilla and then Linda and then Ginger and then actually going to Graceland, I just feel like Elvis got infused into my life. Yeah. And I just loved that whole world. But in terms of having like a favorite muse besides Pamela, I just like, I love, I, you know what?
You love
I love all. Alice Carboni Tench.
Oh.
So she's married to Ben Montench of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that she puts out on a consistent basis in terms of her writing and her blog are so important and so special. And I love what she has to say. Mm-hmm. She's originally from, it's Carboni, so I believe it's Italian. Mm-hmm. And she went to Los Angeles. She had her own podcast. She was interviewing Jackson Browne. Like, she's so fascinating in her own right. And so people might not exactly know about her, but I think that she's super fascinating.
Yes, I love that.
We interview somebody and then we're always like, that was the best one yet. She's the, like, we say that
she's
every
my
time.
Favorite.
They're all amazing. Yeah. And
I love Patty Boyd's story because she, George Harrison and Eric Clapton, come on.
So we interviewed Jenny Boyd, who is Patty Boyd's sister.
Yes. Oh.
So Jenny was married to Mick Fleetwood, a Fleetwood Mac, mm-hmm. for 30 years, has two children with him. She was in India with the Beatles. Like, yeah, okay, Jenny. Jenny's one of my favorite muses. I can't even choose because they're all so fantastic.
You guys got to interview Roxana Shirazi.
Roxana Shirazi.
Yes, recently. Yeah. I loved her book. It was very, like, that was one that really, like, made me blush because mm-hmm. most of the books I read, I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like Catherine James' book, like any of Pamela's
book. Wait, slow down. Who is that though? I'm over here learning.
Oh, okay. So remember,
I'm in school right now.
You had texted me one day and you were like, I saw a book called The Last Living Slut. And I was like, oh yeah, I read that a few years
ago. That's Roxana Shirazi.
Okay, yes. Gotcha. Yes.
She's got another book coming out in the fall that I'm really looking forward to.
Born in,
she's so smart.
She is. She's a brilliant woman. Born in Iran. during the revolution, and then her family moved her to England. Mm-hmm. And then as she grew up there, she found Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue, and the rest is history.
Okay. Okay.
Dated Dizzy. Mm-hmm. Was it Dizzy?
I don't know.
Dizzy from Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to have some trivia here soon with that. I was very intimidated by all the classic rock culture and stuff because I love classic rock, but I've never delved into the side of the Muses. So it's so intriguing, but I know some stuff more of like the new modern, like alternative stuff. Which is not modern anymore.
No.
People used to call the radio station, say, can I request some classic alternative? I'm like, what do you mean classic alternative?
Some Smashing Pumpkins, please.
But Lynx is really good for that. So Lynx is really into, like, I'm classic rock and Lynx is punk and like New York. And she's, so she knows everything about everything that has to do with, with that wave of music. So she has done awesome episodes on women and bands that I see, like, didn't really care that much about, but when she tells me about them, I'm like, that was fascinating, that was cool. So even like Chris Cornell and who's the guy from who sings Sour Girl?
Scott Weiland.
Yep. Yeah. So she did did an episode on,
you guys did the Mary Forsberg Weiland episode.
Lynx presented that and it was great.
That book, Mary Forsberger Weiland's book, is one of my all-time favorite books. That book helped, like, when I read her book, it was kind of like I was reading certain things that I had gone through in my life, and that's the book that actually made me go, I need to get into therapy.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hi, it's Jennifer, a founder of the Go Kid Go Network. Do your kids love wacky worlds, superheroes, and inventing? Of course they do. That's why our shows Bobby Wonder and Lucy Wow are set in Pflugerville, the nonstop fun and adventure universe where imagination, creativity, STEM, and positive role models abound. Join the Pflugerville fun by searching for Bobby Wonder and Lucy Wow on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really?
Yes.
That's why, like, these stories are so important.
Yes.
Plus, people who are so into music history and rock and roll history who think that they know everything that there is to know.
Don't.
Well, there's another side and there's another perspective. And I think we're sort of over that generation or that time where we look upon women as like, well, they're gold diggers and they just want their 15 minutes or they just want, and it's like, for whatever reason and for whatever, if they want to write a book, it's their experience. Okay, like, so stop with this, well, they just want to be famous, and even if they do, who gives a shit? Because that's, you know, musicians want to be well known.
Like,
what's with this judgmental attitude about, well, they just want to do this to him, and like, where is this coming from, and who are the people that are saying this?
Jealousy.
So What it is is that, okay, so we're bringing another side and we're sort of taking the story that you might already know too and adding to it. Yeah. Also, this happened and we love it. And and not only do these women have these stories of their past, but we celebrate what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them have PhDs and a lot of them are therapists. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like we interviewed somebody who, her name's Kristen Casey, and she dated Joe Walsh, and she's a sex surrogate.
Oh.
Sorry. Whoa. I don't know if I said that right. A surrogate partner? So.
Okay. Wait, let me just guess. What's a sex, like a sex surrogate? Like,
so, sorry. So a surrogate partner. So she helps people who like are in need of maybe some like social help when it comes to sexuality and maybe physical, who like physically need some help or just to, how do you touch a woman? How do you have a relationship with somebody? And she guides them through that.
That's amazing.
Right? Like there are just so many women with so many fascinating jobs and that's awesome. We just want to talk about them, but
that just shows you that that if you have a gift or you have something that you want to do, there's somebody out there that's going to find value in it. If you find passion in it, there's somebody that's going to relate to it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That's incredible.
Do you want to ask the go back in time rock star question?
The answer is Tom Petty. I'm just kidding. I'll let you ask.
If you can go back in time and lose your virginity to any rock star, who would it be?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. Tom Petty. Really?
Yeah. He's my man. He's my guy. He's just.
Back then. I have the same birthday as Tom Petty.
Oh, that's so special.
Tom Petty, Bella Lugosi, and Snoop Dogg, and me.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
Jealous. Mm,
no, yeah. So I can tell you he's good peeps because people born on October 20th are good peeps.
My boyfriend's born on October 2nd. So
October babies are very
good. I do
good.
Like it an counts. October baby. Yeah. Is that Libra?
Yes, we are
Libra. I like a Libra.
Are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, that's why Aquarius and Libras are soulmates of the zodiac.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
That's why I like you so much.
That's wicked.
Oh. Yeah. So, Brie, what about?
Yeah, what about you?
Who's your David Bowie?
Bowie.
I would love.
Well, Lori Bowie. Lightning did lose her virginity to David Bowie.
I know. And people try to give her shit for it. And she's just like, fuck you. I lost my virginity to David Bowie.
And it was a great experience. So, how about you fuck off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, David Bowie or. Ooh. Jim Morrison at any stage.
No, you can't take mine.
You can have Jim. And you have a fun Jim story.
Oh, I do. My I used to live with his bodyguard. He was I have a picture I'm gonna show you right now, okay? So my roommate was he was like in his late 60s and he used to he was a very tall handsome black man, and he had a big afro, and I just loved him to pieces. He woke me up every morning blasting music from his room, and it was usually Werewolves of Thunder. But he passed away a couple years ago, but he used to tell me, like, yeah, I was on tour with the Rolling Stones and, you know, all this stuff. And it's so funny because I popped up a picture, like one of those memories on Facebook or something, just a couple days ago, and I'm like, I forgot all about this picture, but this is him. But his name is Tony Funches. He's super cool.
Do you want me to pull it up?
And I think I got it right. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm stalling.
Can I also say that Elvis? I mean, Elvis, like course. Sometimes I just look at pictures of Elvis and I get tingly.
I think that's like...
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So there he is sitting beside Jim Morrison.
There's Tony hanging out. Yeah. He's in his book and everything. So he signed it and gave me the picture. And
that's so awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my little
Jim Morrison. You know, like thing. Rock and roll is a pretty small world.
Yeah.
And like once you're kind of in it and you're a part of it as well and you realize that like I'm not just an outsider anymore. No, just like watching and listening. And, you know, I'm a part of this. And it's so mind blowing.
The proximity to that greatness.
And the proximity just to know somebody who has spent that significant amount of time with that person it's fun.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are from Vegas, like you're pretty close to LA. Do you see a lot of celebrities? Because we don't have that in Toronto.
No.
We honestly don't.
I mean, working in radio, yes. Yeah.
I still love the day, and this is one day that I missed out on because I wasn't there, but who was sitting in the break room?
I walked into the break room to like put my salad in the refrigerator and salt and pepper was just sitting in the break room and Spinderella, and I was just like, oh my God, how do I not fangirl over this? And then another day, she walks in and I was like, the back Backstreet Boys are in the conference room
You're
right now.
I was like, I just got a picture with Nick.
Yeah, she's like, Nick and Hallie got a picture with them. And I was like,
see, that's the thing. When I was 10 years old, I used to pray to God. I would say, God, I would love to meet Nick Carter, please. I just like, I really think that this could happen. And you know what's funny? And I was in university, and you could pay $50 to go to Nick Carter's birthday party in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, like, you know, I laughed and I went, okay, I guess, you know, you delivered, you know, 15 years later, I guess I could do that. I didn't end up going. I didn't really care at that point in my life, but it is funny to hear that, like, yeah, I mean, that happens now. And I'm, you know, talking to a group of people that go somewhere and Nick Carter's in a conference room. Like that's because it was so far away from me when I was
10 years old.
Would you say Nick Carter was your first love? Your Hell first mine too.
Oh, first musical love.
Oh, Nick Carter was mine.
I wish I had pictures of my bedroom. My parents
plastered in Backstreet Boys. Me too.
They
Backstreet Boys
all
and Spice
over
Girls.
My wall.
George Michael.
Ooh. Mm.
In the Faith before he knew. Before he knew his truth. Just like with the guitar and the leather jeans.
I mean, I had a type, honestly. I had Nick Carter, I had Leonardo DiCaprio and Devon Sawa, and they all had the same haircut. And honestly,
I think I had that same Teen Beat wall too.
The
Nick
Teen
Leo.
Beat. Oh, the bring teen back beat the
wall.
Teen Beat.
I think
teen
that was Bob that Max. Wall. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
The blondies. I have to say though, I saw the Backstreet Boys a few times last year because they have their residency out here.
They're playing like tonight or something.
Yes. And Nick still looks good, but Kevin, oh my God. I was like, we did an episode, I had just seen him, and I was like, I used to be a Nick girl, but I saw Kevin and I was like, I'll let you be my daddy if you want. Like, damn, he has like the man bun now, and he's just like, he comes out on stage and he like does
he's
yoga bows, he's all namaste. And I was like, and he just looks good. I was like, ooh, your 40s are doing working for you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's so fun.
An interesting question too, because you know we've met some celebrities or some musicians and stuff, and sometimes they don't live up to your hype, and you're a little you're like, they didn't impress you, or they just kind of like rubbed you the wrong way, or you were like, wow, they were rude, or just I don't know, it just kind of killed your vibe with them. Did you ever meet anybody like that?
I remember when I was in university and I came to Toronto for a show, and I didn't do that often, so I was in a like a bit of a smaller town outside of Toronto, so you'd have to like drive the hour and a half in and and or take the 2-hour bus, and so that was kind of a, you know, and I'm a really small town, so even Toronto at that time for me seemed really big and really intimidating. But I made the trek and I went, and I saw this band, like they're from the UK, so they're called The Horrors. Do you know Faris Badwan?
Yeah.
The really tall guy. The really like tall guy. So I waited outside after the show to meet them, or to meet him. And I had a disposable camera, and I asked if he would take a photo with me, and he said no.
Ew.
Yeah.
Was it just you? Was there a bunch of people? Was it chaotic?
What a dick.
There was maybe a couple of people, five people, like tops, maybe. There really weren't that many people. And it was a disposable camera. Like, and I was in university, so we didn't even really have, like, we didn't have iPhones. Like, nobody had iPhones. It was just kind of a, you know, but even the lighting on the stage, like, none of my photos turned out that night because they purposely lit the stage so people couldn't photograph them and things like that. And I was like, you're coming from the UK and you're coming to like another
country
and you're so like, no, I don't want it. And like, guess what? That band's not very like, I don't know.
Guess what? I don't even know who he is.
Well, I mean, they maybe if they would have, you know, if they would have been gracious to their fans, or if they wouldn't have been so like, don't look at me. Well, Caitlin, nobody's looking at you anymore. I guess that's what you wanted.
I mean, I guess they've all had moments where they're proud, but it's like, honestly, things like that, when you just put somebody on a pedestal and you finally meet them and they just kind of brush you off or give you the cold shoulder, you're like,
did you have that with Maynard?
Dick. Yes.
Who's that?
A lead singer of Tool.
Tool. Yeah. But it was a phone interview, but he was just so rude. He was just, but he's known for like giving everybody shit and just being kind of, but I was beyond excited and nervous.
And Tool and Pussifer and Perfect Circle, some of your top favorite bands.
Yeah. He called me about his wine. He has his own wine, which I would have got you, but no.
No Seven Deadly Zins.
Yeah. I was like, you know, thanks for getting up early and, you know, calling us and everything. He's like, it wasn't you. It was the grapes. They called to me. Like, he's just such
cool.
A yeah, okay. And then every question was just like yes, no, and just kind of made me feel really stupid. And I was just like, that was the hardest interview I've ever had to give, like with somebody mm-hmm. who just was refusing to just interact. It's like, why are you calling? I don't know.
I've been so lucky.
Sucked.
Like I got to meet a band, and a lot of times, like, it doesn't really translate here. Sometimes Canada Famous, it just doesn't translate over to the US.
Mariana's Trench, huge in Canada. I love them. Not that big out here, though.
Right, exactly. So I got to meet a band that my family grew up listening to, and I even brought my brother along when I met the band, because he's such a huge fan mm-hmm. as well, that I just brought him along. I was like, you can take the pictures. And they totally lived up to my expectation. Aww. And more.
Oh, that's good with
love
me.
It. And their bass player flirted with me a little bit.
Ooh,
that was nice too.
I have two disappointments. When I met Josh Todd of Buck Cherry, I was doing a meet and greet with him, and he was just such a dick. Oh my God.
I've never been to a meet and greet.
Ugh. Well, I was working a meet and greet. It's a little different when you're on the working side of it. Actually, I didn't like when we had to do the meet and greet with Fall Out Boy, because the lead singer grabbed my ass. Wasn't a fan of that one.
Oh,
that yikes. Picture is so awkward, because it's just like... mm. And then the lead singer, they were this little punk, like, pop punk band called Mest. First time I saw them, and I was a very big fan of them. I was so excited to go. I was 15 years old. I'm so excited. And then I'm hanging out by the buses afterwards, because even at 15, I guess I had the groupie in me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to meet the lead singer. I'm going to meet Tony Lovato. I have such a crush on him. It's going to happen. And he was like, are you 18? And I was like, no, I'm 16. And he was like, oh, and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh,
not even a hi. How are you?
Yeah.
Just a, like,
you 18?
He's like, you're not even 16.
Do you guys know Josh Tillman of Father John Misty?
I know you. I mean, I've never met him.
But
I like
that band
Father
is
John
blowing
Misty.
Up. Blowing like up.
A lot of people just assume that Josh Tillman is a dick mm-hmm. because of, I guess, what he sings about, and maybe interviews that he's given in the past or anything like that. But when he played a show in Toronto, after the show, a couple of my friends hung out with him and mm-hmm. a couple members of his band, and he was one of the nicest and kindest, and people Aww. Just assume he's really condescending mm-hmm. or that he's like, oh, but he thinks he's better than everybody. And it was like, you know, I hung out until the bar closed with him one night, like one-on-one, like there was four of us, me, my girlfriend, that. Him and the drummer at the time. And it was one of the best experiences. So I've been really lucky actually with the people who I really admire mm-hmm. and who really love. And mm-hmm. So I don't have too many bad experiences.
No, it's no. few and far
it's
between.
Few and, far, yeah.
And there are people that have just like come out of the gate and they just blew you away. Dreamers, you know, some bands, they're just so gracious, and you're like, you know, I wasn't even the biggest fan, but after meeting you and getting mm-hmm. to interview, I'm just Joywave. They were a really
young blood.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, just
oh, and he's sexy. If you weren't 19 years old, oh boy.
Yeah, we could do name dropping and everything all day.
Do you have have you ever like met a musician and you fangirled and you kind of embarrassed yourself over? I have I have a good story about this.
Okay, well, you go first and I'll think about it.
Okay, I Stone Temple Pilots played out here in what, 2007, 2008. It was their reunion tour. Stone Temple Pilots played two nights at the Palms. So I went and saw them Thursday night. I got so drunk. It was such an amazing show. Scott was sober at the time. I think he and Mary were still together. It was amazing. And then all of a sudden, the next day I had to, because working in radio, they always make us go to these shows. And if there's a meet and greet, we have to be there to make sure that like all of our listeners are there and we get them in through the meet and greets and stuff like that. So I'm there, I'm working this Panic at the Disco meet and greet. I'm hungover. I'm not happy. And then I go to the Coffee Bean inside the Palms afterwards, and Dean DeLeo is standing there from Stone Temple Pilots. And I was like, that's Dean DeLeo. Fuck. And then I was like, how do I react? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So I start digging through my purse to like find my ticket from the night before. But I was so drunk, I didn't even know if I still had it. And I was like, I'm going to get his autograph. And he comes up to me and he goes, are you okay? And I was like, I can't find my car keys. And he was like, let me know if you need anything. And
I'm digging for my Sharpie to ask you to sign my boobs.
I can't find my car keys. I'm okay. Yeah. It was just so embarrassing. Like, that's my opening line for him. Can't find my car keys.
Probably just the moment of like sheer, like I'm trying to get his attention. And then it's like, but he busted me. Like just going for
I was trying
him,
to like, not get his attention. I was like just digging through my purse frantically. Oh, oh, so embarrassing.
I can't think of a time that I fangirled out quite like that. But you know, like Lynx would be a good person. Unfortunately, she can't be here.
Shout out Lynx. Shout out to Lynx. We're going to Canada. Yeah.
We're going to Canada. It's already sold out.
Like she's met like Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones. Although she's so like calm and cool and collected. Like normally, we'd have to ask her if she's
normally
fanned
I
anybody.
Am. It was just I don't know if it was the hangover. Yeah. I'm gonna blame the hangover. That's what it is. And it was just honestly when I saw them. As I was watching them, I was like, this is one of the best shows, and I'm probably never going to get this opportunity to see them like this again. And I never got to see them like that again. The next time I saw Stone Temple Pilots, Chester was singing for him. R.I.P. Yeah. to him, too.
My God. Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Do you have anybody you ever fangirled over?
Yeah, I'm just trying to... when I first moved to Vegas, I was like 20. Be Real from Cypress Hill. Like Cypress Hill was in town like the weekend I moved there. And I was like, I'm getting backstage. I'm going to roll the biggest joint you've ever seen. And I'm getting backstage. And so I did. I was really, really excited to see him. And I walked up to him and there was like a big, massive, giant. I was like 20 years old. It was like a big 5-foot bong. And I was like... yo, what's up? And he's like, what's up, you know? And I was like, there's just like a pile of groupies in the corner, you know, just everybody was just like, whoa. And I was like, you know, I like the show, it was cool. He's like, yeah. And he's like, you want to hit this? Like, looked at me like, pff. He's like, don't hurt yourself. I was like, all right, I'm good. So that was me trying to impress myself, and I was like, yeah, okay.
Oh my God.
And I walked away, and afterwards he's like, yo, you want to come back to the hotel room? And I was like, I saw like a, there was probably like 10 girls, they were bringing them all back. I was like, no, I'm good. So it was a little bit of like,
should have gone,
fangirling, but also a little disappointment.
I think you made the right choice.
You know, also a little disappointment of like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to get in line. If it was just me, I'd be there. But I was
I'm
like,
I'm not going to get in line.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, all right. No. You know, so I forgot about that one.
That's fun. Speaking of groupies and stuff, like, I love that you girls are bringing these women to light, and you're trying to, just as Pamela is, like, end the stigma around the word groupie. I think people just don't understand really what a groupie is.
Well, I think it's just women shaming if people, oh, yeah, if people really think is. It's a bad thing, you know,
well,
like...
Like, not to shame Post Malone, but in his song, he's like, I feel like it's kind of derogatory. He's like, your girlfriend's just a groupie. She's just trying to get in singing I'm with the band. And I'm like, yeah, so what?
Like, yeah.
Not to shame Post Malone. I actually like him. But
it's interesting to look at it from a historical context and be like, when did it start? When did the word pop up for the first time? And then where did people start to change their tune or have this image? So that's been a really fun process, is taking it from like the 50s and even before that in the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, 80s was an interesting time for that kind of thing, as in terms of like, you know, what was happening with like musicians and like debauchery and things like that. And then bringing it into the Me Too time, you know, like even when we started 3 years ago, the Me Too movement hadn't started yet. So we've been having a lot of conversations based on, you know, okay, let's talk about Lori Lightning being 13 years old when she lost her virginity to David Bowie. And so it's not shying away from these things. But I think ultimately it's just like these women, for the most part, weren't exploited. And the reason why I'm saying that is because that's what they've said. And that's who we care about's perspective, right? So there's been a lot of people looking onto them and then trying to project like their experience of they were this, they had this happen to them, poor them, when, or people who wish that they could have done that. Or even like, you know, men sometimes, when you look at guys who like all they can, you know, the front row Joe that, you know, all they can do is ask for the autograph. And if they could, like maybe they would want to like sleep with the rock star, you know, and maybe because of jealousy, then they look at the people who can do it and they go, well, they're just this or they're just that or whatever. But we were curious to talk to the women in the 60s in the, like, from, you know, who were groupies in the 60s, groupies in the 70s, groupies in the 80s, groupies in the 90s, modern groupies, and hear from them. Did you feel exploited? Did you have fun? Did you do things that you wanted to do? Would you change your mind? Would you do it over again? So we've done an episode on Lori Lightning, but I'd love to talk to her and go over this again. Now, the Me Too movement. Do you change your mind? Do you feel differently about what has happened? And
you know, what's interesting is actually, I think I read an interview with her after, because people started exploiting her after Me Too. She's like, you were 13. And she was just kind of like, yeah, but he didn't know that.
And or like, I put myself there or like, I just, that's what that. I wanted to.
It's what she wanted to do. Yeah.
I
look at it as kind of, I hate to say it was a different time, but it really was a different time. Like,
wasn't Priscilla Presley like 14
when she met Elvis? But they didn't actually do anything until she was of legal age.
Okay,
wow.
Because I only found that out recently with the whole Jerry Lee Lewis. Didn't he pass? He just passed away. And
the 13-year-old cousin he married.
Yeah.
That's been a long, like, that's, people have known that for a really long time, and that was never really okay.
Yeah,
but no. I think that a lot of things sort of just got, you know, like, yeah, Jimmy Page notoriously liked
young women,
young girls.
Yeah.
And Pamela talks about all of that in her books, and, you know, like, and Morgana Welch has stuff to say about that too. And I'm curious from their perspectives. So it's always just going in saying, we're not laying judgment. You know, we're not saying this is good, this is bad, this is wrong, this is right. Let's explore it. Let's have a conversation about it. But ultimately, we're celebrating women who went after what and who they wanted. Mm-hmm. They didn't make apologies for it. Mm-hmm. They were sexually liberated.
Yeah.
They had a great time. They fucked Mick Jagger. They fucked Jimmy Page. They fucked Elvis.
Jealous. Like, yes.
Hello.
You got stories, girl. So, like,
yeah. We've got a woman downstairs right now that we're going to go see who fucked Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Page.
How do you become that one woman who got that rock star's attention that a billion people want his attention? And you got it. Mm-hmm. That's why you're a groupie.
You're about to meet Pamela, and you'll understand how she gets everybody's attention.
Yeah,
it's just the light.
It's an energy.
It's her light.
And I mean, she's gorgeous.
She is
the most physically beautiful woman. Yes. But just her heart, her insides, like she.
Even like,
I can't wait to meet
Dave Navarro tried to get with her when he was young and she was much older than him.
That's hot.
I know. I was like, I would go after Dave Navarro too. Like,
well, listen, I know we had a lot of fun things that we wanted to get to, but there are things happening here in Vegas and we just wanted to like collaborate with you. I have a quick little trivia game that I put together with a few different songs and who inspired the song.
Oh, amazing.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Since I know, I'm going to throw it out there. New and older songs. All right. Let's do a little vintage one for you. Carly Simon's You're So Vain.
I thought that was never been proven who it was about.
She confirmed. It could have been one of three guys, but she confirmed one. Go.
Warren Beatty.
Interesting.
He even said, you know that song's about me.
Like, oh, of course.
Mick Jagger sings backup vocals on the song. So a lot of people thought for a really long time that it was Mick Jagger.
Uh-huh.
But no, he sings backup vocals. And but it was Warren Beatty.
Of course. I do it. Okay. Here we go. Courtney Love's Violet.
Billy Corgan.
Yes.
Go on, take a
nice one.
Yes. Okay. Gwen Stefani's Holla Back Girl.
Courtney Love.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because Courtney Love, because Gwen was like, you know, my whole album is very cheerleader and pumpy and poppy, and I need a sassy song. So she says, I'm going to take what Courtney Love threw some shade at me. She said, Courtney Love said, being famous is just like being in high school, but I'm not interested in being the cheerleader. I'm not interested in being the Gwen Stefani. She's the cheerleader and I'm out in the smoker shed.
Courtney Love has something to say about everybody. Like her and Kathleen Hanna, I thought they were friends, but they actually hate each other, which I find strange since Kurt was good friends with Kathleen Hanna too.
Yeah. I think because she was talking about how she used to fuck Gavin. So
well, yeah,
which we don't know if that's true or not.
Okay. All right. Foo Fighters, I'll Stick Around.
I love that song and I love the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. Was it like for Taylor Hawkins?
It was for Courtney Love. Sorry, there was a Courtney Love trio tying triangle there.
I was gonna say, I know he has a few songs he wrote about Courtney that weren't very flattering towards her.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah, I think times like these is maybe for Taylor. It was like
And then Hero was about Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
R.I.P. Kurt.
Okay. This one was kind of interesting. 311's Nick Hexum song, Amber.
Whoa. I don't know who that band is.
Amber was the color of my energy.
I have no idea.
Lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls, Nicole Scherzinger.
Really?
They had a thing, and that was...
Interesting.
Yeah, that was his
You just blew my mind with that knowledge.
That was a weird one to me. I didn't even know they were dating.
Do you guys like Harry Styles?
Yeah, he's cute.
So I do love Harry Styles, and I really, really like his album that he put out.
Yes.
And then there's a song where he goes, she said she's gonna be an angel, just you wait and see. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's like publicly that it's out, but I'm pretty sure he's talking about Kendall Jenner.
Oh.
Because
oh.
they dated and then she was a Victoria's Secret angel.
Oh.
So like sometimes you think about like women like that, you know, Nicole mm-hmm. uh-huh. from the Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, her last name is impossible.
And you know, like Kendall Jenner, and you're kind of like, they're muses.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian's a muse.
Oh,
like
somewhere.
They are 100%. Yes.
Yeah. Have you heard that well, Kanye has that latest song, you're such a fucking hoe. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Is it about Amber Rose?
I think it's about him.
Well, he's written about Amber Rose too.
I'm
I love
sick
Amber
fuck,
Rose.
I like a quick fuck.
That's okay. The thing now. We can take like hoe, we can take slut, we can take all that stuff, and it's just like it's not a negative thing.
No, it's not a negative thing.
In a fun way.
Depends. Yeah. Depends on the context, depends on who's saying it.
Yeah.
Last one, because I thought this was just random and interesting. Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. She's an actress. They dated, and
it's
she,
not
she
Ione comes, Skye.
Nope. She has a family.
That's a good guess.
She's yeah. a family of actors.
Arquette. A,
yes.
Patricia yeah. Arquette.
Rosanna.
Oh. She also the song. Is it Toto?
Toto's
Rosanna.
They said they
want to do in the middle yeah. of the night Rosanna. Is hold you tight, Rosanna.
Interesting. I'm like, oh.
I knew.
Yeah,
I
love the
Arquette. But I did
I love
not
the
know that yeah. In Your Eyes was about her. That's yes. awesome.
Yeah, I love that one. But yeah, I figured I'd throw in a fun little.
Those, that was great.
Trivias, yeah.
Oh man, I was nervous because I was like, oh, what if I fuck
here we
this
go.
Up?
Then I got. I love Courtney Love, so she's a fucking.
So.
That's Lynx's expertise yeah. there.
Right.
So I'm glad you were there.
I'm a big Courtney Love expertise too. So, I mean, obviously you date musicians. I don't know if your boyfriend currently is one.
That's funny. I always dated musicians. The first guy that I ever dated, lived with, loved, all that stuff was in my brother's band.
Oh, okay. Right.
And yeah, I've been a musician chaser myself. So in Mary Forsberg Weiland's book, she talks about seeing Scott Weiland perform for the first time and states, moments before Scott came out, I started to feel afraid. What if the love of my life turned out to be awful? Have you ever had that moment with any of the musicians you dated, or do you tend to like see their band first and like then be like, hey, what's up?
It's gone both ways. I've definitely approached guys after shows and said, hi, I'm gonna buy your CD. I don't have enough money. I only have this Elvis keychain. Do you want to trade? And, you know, yeah. It kind of goes from there. And then I think, you know, when I was living in a town that was, you could throw a rock and you'd hit a musician. They were just all musicians anyways. Mm-hmm. I remember this, I was thinking about this story and I don't think I've ever told it on our podcast or anything like that. I went on a date with a musician in Peterborough, which is the small town outside of Toronto that's mm-hmm. full of musicians. But another musician in that town got wind that we were going out on a date and he liked me, so he found out where we were meeting. Oh. And he brought his guitar and he followed us and serenaded our entire date.
What?
I love that.
And then we just ended up having this, we all ended up going back to my house and just had like a party on our front porch and everybody stopped by and it just ended up being fun and silly.
Awesome.
But like, yeah, that's what I loved that story. And my partner and, you know, future husband now is filmmaker, so he works in yeah. But what's wonderful about this guy now is that he has like none of the ego of mm-hmm. any musician I've ever met, and he's just genuinely really curious about the creation process.
Smart and creative.
You know, okay, yeah, yeah, developing film, like running workshops, but he's also really handy. He can build things.
Oh, yeah.
He can change a tire. Like, he's,
I need that.
He's, he's a wonderful mix of all of that. Aww. And he, you know, like, I asked him to, like, break out the guitar. Like, I want to tune it just to practice a little bit. And he can play the guitar. Like, so he can, you know, he's, he kind of can do everything, but he's not out there, like, kind of pursuing the musician and rock star. Yeah. And now that we've gone through the, you know, all of these relationships and all of these stories, and a while, a part of me thinks like, oh, it would be so fun to be doing the backstage thing every night and to be doing the thing. It's like, really, that's not what I want. No. And we've really taken everybody off their pedestals and things.
Yeah.
And just gotten to the real story of what it is like to date a musician. Yeah. And a famous musician. Mm-hmm. At that. And I love my situation right. Yeah. Now
I like that she said that she opened up, she shared a little bit about, I know your listeners don't get much of your personal. Mm-hmm. Life. Mm-hmm. But since you did open that up again, one of our favorite questions we like to know is the ask her that one.
Okay I will say this, though, on that question, though, I do have a story about that. Mm-hmm. Question. I have always been the type to, like, go after the band after I've seen them perform. Mm-hmm. But with my ex-boyfriend, I had never seen him do stand-up because he's a comedian. Mm-hmm. I had never seen him do stand-up. And then about a month into us dating, I was like, I went to go see him and I was like, holy fuck, what if he's terrible? Like, it really freaked me out. I remember going to MJ and I was like, I've never watched his YouTube videos, I don't know anything about him, tell me if he's funny. Like, I really had a huge panic attack.
Was he good? Okay. That's
he has a swag. I try not to give him props because we're still mad at him.
We're mad at him, but he's good.
He's
a professional.
Yeah,
I went through a 6-month period where I did date a few comedians. Mm-hmm. Maybe three. Mm-hmm. And
I'm sorry.
Nope. They're even...
They're worse than musicians.
Yeah, 100%.
We can say it. It's okay. So yeah, because you have opened up a little bit. So what is something... This is something that we love to ask. What is something that your partner does non-sexually that just, like, turns you on, that you're like, hey, baby? Like, like washing the dishes when you didn't ask them to. You
know? So today, yeah. I sent him a picture beside, like, of the Bellagio pool. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's great. I'm brushing the cat. And
yes!
And the thing is that he's my cat that I brought into the relationship. Yeah. He's an 11-year-old cat. Mm-hmm. And, like, we live together. And so just to think of him at home, and he loves to brush the cat.
Aww.
And so just thinking of him at home, just, like, happy and calm. Aww. And just brushing my floof, that sounded dirty. But I fell in love with him more. Aww. In that moment.
And plus, he wasn't like, oh, you're at the Bellagio, well, enjoy.
I'm no. Brushing her face.
So yeah, like, it was so just happy, like, for me, but content. Also, like, great, I just gave the floof a brush. And
yeah, I mean, like, I gotta give it up to MJ's husband too, because he's very like, you guys want to go on a road trip, okay, cool, you know,
he's so supportive.
Yeah, he's yep. So supportive. And he's like, I call him the sugar daddy of our podcast,
because he's just like the angel investor.
Yeah.
he's so supportive of, like, of MJ, and he's just supportive of us too, and it's fabulous.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always think that's charming to see, like, what you see in people that, because people, you know, sometimes people don't have the confidence to think, well, maybe I'm not sexy, or maybe I'm not cool. Maybe there's a guy out there that's just like, I don't know how. It's like, just be yourself and show that you're authentic and sweet and genuine. Kindness is one of the sexiest things, or just being, you know, to me, I think. But
with the guy I've been dating on and off now, like, one of the sexiest things he's ever did, we have not had sex yet, but one of the sexiest things he's done to me is on one of our dates, I was talking about something and I was like, man, sometimes I just, you know, I just wish my brain felt normal. And he kissed me on the top of my head and he looked me in the eye and he said, never let anybody tell you that you're not normal. And I was just like, hey, mm-hmm. That's like, that was one of the hottest things ever. And it wasn't even anything. I was just like, oh.
Oh, you mean like emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. sexy.
Oh. Yeah.
Emotional intelligence in a man is sexy. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, we got a pool party at the Plaza.
This has been amazing.
This has been so much fun.
Thank you so much.
We can probably talk forever and ever.
We will. Next time, come and visit us, and then we'll like look at our inputs. You know, that needs one more, Jack. It needs one more. Mm-hmm. We need a links here.
I got six here.
We need her to close our circle.
We're missing it.
We are.
Well, it was incredible meeting you.
Yes.
Please, let's throw out all the socials before we go.
Socials.
We're at keepingitcasualpodcast.com on Instagram.
Keeping It Casual Podcast.
Yes.
Yes. Come find us.
Facebook, Twitter. I'm MJ Radio Diva anywhere.
I'm at Brie Mixed anywhere.
Great.
You are?
We're on Instagram. We're at Muses Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Musespod.com and Shanti and Lynx.
Okay.
At Twitter.
When do you guys drop your, how do you spell Shanti?
Chanty.
Yeah.
And Lynx.
Lynx.
Okay.
Yeah. And our episodes come out every second Thursday, but with our Patreon that's going to be launching, if you want more, then you're going to get a bonus episode in between those weeks.
Love it. Love it all. We have new episodes every Wednesday,
Patreon's already sold out for them.
We look forward. Thank you for collaborating with us on this episode. We're so excited to share your show with our listeners and meet yours.
Same.
Awesome.
Woo! Thank you.
Bye.
Las Vegas.
Bye.
Hi. My name is Jenny Owen Youngs.
And I am Kristen Russo.
And together we run Buffering, a rewatch adventure. A family of podcasts moving through our favorite 90s genre television.
If you're a fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, well, great news for you. Our very first podcast adventure took us through all 7 seasons of the series. We covered it spoiler-free, episode by episode. For those of you who want to start the show for the first time, you can find that podcast pretty easily. It's called Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
Inside that podcast, you'll also find an original song that pairs with each glorious episode of Buffy, and original character jingles for so many of our Buffy favorites.
Buffering has been praised in places like Time, Esquire, Paste Magazine, and the New York Times, and we've chatted with dozens of cast members, writers, directors, and fans along the way. Come hang out and rewatch some of your favorite television with us and a wonderful community of listeners.
Learn more at BufferingCast.com or find us on socials at BufferingCast.